This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. The comic and actor Paul Reiser has teamed up with actor Peter Falk, playing a father and son redefining their relationship in the new film The Thing About My Folks. Reiser wrote the screenplay with Falk in mind. Reiser is best known for his former sitcom Mad About You. Recently, he was featured in the comedy documentary The Aristocrats. Falk has starred in many movies, including three by his late friend John Cassavetes, and he was the star of Columbo. At the beginning of The Thing About My Folks, Paul Reiser is in his Manhattan apartment with his wife, putting the children to bed, when the doorbell rings and Reiser's father, played by Falk, unexpectedly shows up. After denying that anything's wrong, he takes out a note written by his wife, Reiser's mother, saying that she's leaving, but it doesn't say why. With the mystery unsolved, Reiser convinces Falk to take a drive in the country where Reiser is looking at a home he's thinking of buying. Falk is mystified that his son is considering moving to the country.
And you would really go live on a farm?
It's not a farm, it's a farmhouse. Farmhouse. It's a house with land. It's just, this is, you know, it's something we've been talking about for a while, and because I don't know if we want the girls to grow up in the city. I mean, is that...
The suburbs, I could understand.
Yeah, but I just like the idea of the country. You know, it appeals to me. You know, it's safe, it's quiet. I could do my writing there.
What does that mean, a farm? You have, like, what, chickens?
No, not chickens. It's not a farm. It's just, yeah, I mean, you could grow stuff if you want. You could grow tomatoes or corn or something, I'm sure.
In upstate New York?
Yeah, you could, if you, why not?
New Jersey has the fantastic corn.
All right, well, you know what? The point isn't to grow
corn.
New
York is, I think, maybe too cold for corn.
Forget I said corn. Drop the corn. The point is the house. You go in, it's a house in the country, so it sounds like a nice thing.
Yeah, I understand. It's just a quiet place in the country.
Yeah, that's all. It's the house in the country.
Well, you're not going to buy it without looking at it first, though, right?
What are we doing? We're driving to go look at it, right?
Well, you know, you never know.
No, hey, I know. I know.
Paul Reiser, Peter Falk, welcome to Fresh Air. Paul Reiser, you're the screenwriter of the movie and the star with Peter Falk. Why did you want Peter Falk to play the part of the father?
Oh, it never dawned on me that it would be anybody else. It wasn't even a decision. It was actually the truth. I grew up adoring Peter Falk, and I just loved everything I ever saw him do. And I got that from my father. And about 20 years ago, I was back in New Jersey watching my father. I happened to be back, and he happened to have a Peter Falk movie on TV. And watching my father laugh at Peter just gave me that, was the kickoff and the birth of this movie, that something about Peter Falk playing my father, and I don't know. And then it became this.
Peter Falk, did you look at pictures of Paul Reiser's father or anything like that to get what was on his mind?
No, I didn't see any pictures of Paul's father or anything like that. The first thing I got was a script. And I responded to that character very early.
What did you respond to?
I got the feeling that this guy could be wrong a lot. But I like the fact that he would never admit it.
Paul Reiser, what did you tell Peter Falk you wanted to bring out in the character? What did you tell him about your father?
I didn't tell him anything. I had this had been sitting in my head and in my heart for so many years that when I finally got it out, I was worried about expressing to Peter Falk, the actor, the man, how much this meant to me, how long I've been sitting on it, how much it has to be, Peter, and oh boy, how much you have to read it. I want to get all that intensity out without scaring him. And he called me in the middle of the script. I still have the tape.
I'm on page 54 and I love it. I love this story.
One of the things I really like about the movie is I like the dialogue in the movie, and particularly Peter Falk's dialogue, because it's so much of like that generation and New York.
Yeah.
And I mean, for instance, like you're reading a John Grisham book in it. So you say something like, this guy, one book after another, this guy. Uh-huh. It's just so can you talk a little bit about the writing and Peter Falk? I'm sure some of this was just your own.
Yeah, but I mean, the fact that my son decided to be a writer, I mean, everybody has a choice. They should do what they want to do. But on the other hand, I could think of a lot better things for him to be doing than to be a writer. Who ever heard of a writer? I never knew a writer before. So now he's a writer. But in the meantime, and he writes books. In the meantime, when are they going to come out? When are they going to be published?
There are all these extra layers with Peter's acting. Just, you know. And that very line where he goes, he said, "You can take a day off. I mean, you're driving in the country with me. Are you sure you can take a day off like this?" I said, "Yeah, I'm fine. I finished the article I had to do. You know, I'm 45 and I'm still saying, no, I finished my homework, Dad." And the line is, "And your book?" And I say, "No, I'm still working on my book." But on that line, Peter does something with his hand that just waffles back. And your book? And the hand gesture is as if to say, "That crazy nonsense you call your work? What the heck is going on?" And it's so loaded, and it kills me every time I see it. It's such a negativity to it. My father was very much like Peter, and very jovial, very sweet, and yet the word no was at the beginning of every sentence. Even when he was saying yes, no is what came out. "Did you like the restaurant?" "No, it was very good." "What?" "No, it was very good." I said, "Well, what is the no applying to?" He said, "No, I'm saying it's very good."
Talk about hearing your father's voice in your head. Because it's a style of speaking that I think is of a generation.
It is of a generation, and you're right. It is a bit New Yorkish, I suppose. And by the time I sat down to write it, I don't really know that I knew the difference anymore between what I thought was my father's voice and what I know is Peter's voice. So there's certain rhythms I just know. It's just when you write a Peter Falk sentence, it's going to do those little things where it wraps around itself and it repeats. When he bangs the car up and Sam says to him, the father says to him, "Hey, listen, a new car you can always get." And you look at that on paper and go, that is just the most ass-backward sentence I've ever seen. And you can, the proper thing is, "Hey, you can always get a new car." But no, he wouldn't say that. He goes, "A new car you can always get."
Peter Falk, tell me something about your father.
He worked hard.
In what?
He owned a store, women's and children's, dry goods store. When he was younger, he worked in a grocery store, fruits, sold fruits. But what he wanted more than anything else, what he really wanted was his own store. That's what he wanted. And he finally got one.
So the women and children's store
was
his own store?
The women's and children's store, yeah.
So did you go into that a lot when you were a kid?
Yeah, he used to make me come down there and help out during the Christmas rush.
Did he expect you to go into the business?
He would have liked it, but I think he was wise enough to realize that maybe that wasn't going to happen.
How did he feel about you going into acting?
What he said to me was, when I told him, he said, "You mean to tell me you're going to paint your face and make an ass of yourself for the rest of your life?"
a little confidence, huh?
Right.
So when your father said that to you, did you feel like he didn't believe in you? Was it a crisis? Did you just shrug your shoulders and go on?
No, I answered him truthfully. I said yes. And this is why people like him. What he did, he put out his hand and said, "Good luck." I shook hands and that was it.
Was it that way with your father too, Paul?
Yeah, actually... My dad had a business, a health foods wholesaling business.
Oh, health foods?
Health foods wholesaling. That he started it before there was health foods in like the late 30s.
What did he sell in it?
What did he sell? Well, in the beginning, of, you know, vitamins.
Carrot juice.
And salt-free foods and sugar-free foods and stuff like that. But that was before it became, you know, a nationally conscious thing. But so there was always... his hope, and actually it was my expectation that I'd go into the business as well. And when I actually left and said, I want to be a comedian, I want to go into this world, he had a hard time understanding. And it wasn't quite as quick closure as Peter describes it for his family, his father. There was a little adjustment period until what actually sold it to him was funny when you talk about your father wanted his own shop. My father was trained as a chemical engineer, and he didn't end up using that, and he did this thing, but he just wanted to have his own thing. When I was able to explain to him that for me, going into comedy and acting and writing was the equivalent of what he did. He went off on his own and he established himself, and I needed to do that. When he understood it in those terms and was able to put sort of a business application to it? Like, okay, so these are your beginning years, just like we didn't make a profit for a few years. Okay, I understand that. And that I was going to pursue it with the same kind of passion and discipline, really, more than passion, was that that it was important to me and that I took it seriously. Then he got it. He said, okay, you know. And he was my biggest fan, and he was a great, great supporter.
Peter Falk, did you ever do like Shakespeare or Ibsen, you know, the kind of classic theater where you're supposed to be speaking a more kind of like standard, almost British type of English? Because I hear such like a rich New York flavor in your voice, and, you know, I don't know if there were times
when I first became a professional actor, that was off-Broadway, and, mm-hmm. And those were the... we did Purple Dust. That was an O'Casey play. And he was a very rich writer. And he didn't write just naturalistic dialogue. I also did Playboy of the Western World. Oh, wait a minute. And then when I, you know, when you first became an actor, I did one smart thing.
What was that?
I said, I'm going to go to Barnard College. They only have women there. And if they put on a play, they're looking for men. They're looking for male actors. And I went to Barnard College. I wasn't admitted to the college, but how could they put on a play?
Oh, wait. So you went to Barnard just to offer yourself as an actor for their play?
Yes, just to do a play.
And it worked.
And we did a, it was a, oh... I don't recall the name of the play, but it was a well-known melodrama written in verse from the 16th century.
So was your voice and your speech much different than the Peter Falk we know?
Yes, it was hard to talk 16th century verse like this here. This here didn't work there.
But Peter did like creative things. I mean, he was telling a story how you were watching some actors leave a theater, and so you trailed them for like 6 or 7 blocks just to hear how actors talk. Well,
oh,
who was
that? Oh, yeah. I was not a professional actor, but I heard, and I couldn't believe it, I said, this can't be true, that a fellow that I went to high school with had started a winter repertory company in New Haven, Connecticut. I was working in Hartford, and that was about an hour's drive. This is impossible. Somebody that I went to high school with? Has started? No, can't be. I drive down, and there's the theater. And there's the guy's name. There is the guy's name. And not only his name up there, he's doing a play, Bell, Book, and Candle. Who is in it? Roddy McDowell, Maria Riva, Marlena Dietrich's daughter.
Oh, yeah.
And so I can't remember the gentleman that, a middle-aged Hollywood character actor. And I said, wow, this is actually happening. I said, Jimmy Cronin, that was my friend's name. I said, I'll go in the theater. I'm going to ask Jimmy, how did this happen? So I went in, and I heard some voices. And I stopped, and down in the orchestra near the stage, there were three people. And I stopped. I said, holy jamolies, that's Roddy McDowell. That's Estelle Winwood. That was Bell, Book, and Candle. I said, holy jamolies, these are real. I know these. They're stars, these people. I'm going to go down there. And I'm going to listen how they talk. And I went down, but I wanted to get in a position where I could hear but not be seen. By the time I got where I wanted, they stood up and started to walk out. So I followed them. They turned right. They went into a drugstore, which had booths. And the booth in front of them was taken. The booth in back of them was taken. I sat at the fountain. I was on the Erie. You know what it is? I'm trying to hear from the fountain. But I had to turn my head in profile that one ear could pick up a lot of the conversations, but not a lot.
And what were they talking?
It turned out, as they got up to leave, I could hear clearly what they were saying. And what they were saying was the way to make money in real estate is to buy land in California. That's what Bob Hope's doing. I was terribly disappointed.
What did you expect they were going to be talking about?
Oh, whatever it was, I knew it was going to be witty. It was going to be sparkling. It was going to have a wit and a life, something that I've never heard before. It wasn't going to be real estate.
So did it make acting seem any more or less accessible to you, having heard this conversation?
It was a setback. And I didn't go forward. It took me another year before I went to Eva LaGallien's class.
No, one more thing. The movie starts, more or less, with your father pouring talcum powder all over his body, and you talk in the voiceover about how much your father loved talcum powder. Where does that come from?
I came from my father loving talcum powder. I'm not bright enough to make up something that hasn't actually happened to me. my sphere of reference is only as wide as my life. And my father used to always come out of a shower and powder himself, and you would see just, you know, cakes and layers of powder all over the floor, like an outtake from Scarface, just all this white powder all over the house. And then it wasn't until, and smell, there's something about smells that linger so deep in the memory. And then, of course, when I had kids and I started smelling powder again, oh, man, and you start thinking of that memory. So there's something that just sort of runs through this theme line of my life of talcum powder. But again, finding out that a lot of people come over after the screenings and go, hey, you know, that's me. My father always used to powder. And you don't see it. People don't talk about talcum powder, but suddenly it's a rich vein of connection.
Peter Falk, did that do anything for you? You know, throwing baby powder all over your body, did it bring back any memories of?
It reminds you of the first time we shot it.
Are you the powder kind of guy?
I mean, I've been in a lot of movies, done a lot of scenes. I would put that scene among the top favorites of all time for me, watching that scene.
Why?
It's hilarious to me. It's original. It's innovative. I've never seen a scene like it. And you like the guy so much. What a terrific way to begin the movie.
Talk about getting close to somebody. You're right there. He's naked, and you're in there with him.
Peter Falk, Paul Reiser, thank you both so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Terry.
Paul Reiser and Peter Falk star in the new movie The Thing About My Folks, which was written by Reiser.